Susie Sunshine, as we call her around here, although at the other networks they just refer to her as Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas.
Hi, Susan.
Much more dignified when they refer to her than when
we
do.
Other shows.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, Dow.
She brings the dignity level up, though.
20,000. Dow 20,000. And is this the Trump effect?
Well, it is the Trump effect because that's a big part of this. It's the enthusiasm and political euphoria, I think, is taking over for the market. We're hearing sound bites that sound really appealing to investors. Tax cuts always sound appealing. And the infrastructure build and actual talk so soon in the first week of the presidency about these issues and things that he talked about on the campaign trail, but now seem to actually be right there on his desk in action. I think that's really giving the market some juice here. And remember that at the same time, we've got company management teams coming out announcing earnings, and earnings have been surprisingly strong.
We've seen such an increase in the markets since the election. Does it seem as if now we're looking at overheated valuations? Do you sense that that is the case right now, Susan?
Well, I do think that the market's rushed ahead to value stocks and think about what's coming down the pipeline. And so we have, I think, a lot of momentum here. It has been a big upward rush since the election. And there are some things to support it. Earnings, certainly, and the earnings reports that we're seeing are showing that the economy is really doing well right now. And we started to see early indicators as we saw some of the economic data pick up over the summer and into the fall. So this potentially is just a continuation of that. And then we've got a lot of things going for us in terms of rhetoric in Washington, and again, just political enthusiasm. So if we can get some of these promises or campaign pledges put into play in the next couple months, that's going to be a good thing. I think the anticipation of that could keep this market going for a while, as could people trying to chase. When we hit 20,000, that's a big number. People pay attention, and then they start feeling like they might be left out. They better get in now.
I've always been one of those guys that was like, oh my god, look at this, and then you get in and it starts at 20,000, and then or even worse, when it starts to go and you get out at the low and you're like, I gotta get out, and then it's like, when do I get back in?
It's hard to time the market.
It's very scary to try to time it at a top here, right?
It's extremely scary to try and time it. And, you know, this 20,000, we're almost two times where we were. In fact, I think we are exactly two times where we were when we were at the bottom in 2008. So
we're actually almost two and a half times, because we were at 79.87, I think, was the low.
So we're seeing this, you know, great resurgence, but trying to time that, a lot of people would have been, just feeling miserable. This is where the market plays against human emotion, and your human instinct is what fights against you on this. When you want to be a smart investor, take your emotion out of it, because you don't want to be impacted or influenced by that. Really look to earnings, economic growth, what's going on. So 20,000, that's a really attractive number. It's exciting. You want to participate in that. So if people rush in, I caution them to say, look to the long term. 20,000, it's great. It's a nice round number. But, you know, who knows? A year from now, we could still be at 20,000. We could be higher. We could be lower. Look to what you're investing in and see how profitable it is, because that's where you're making money.
That's good advice. You mentioned the infrastructure spend, $500 billion that President Trump wants to put into roads and bridges and airports. I know that's part of the market probably likes that. But what about the wall? Now we're seeing this, that he put that into an executive order, a large physical barrier, not a wall, but that is intended. And does that have an impact on anything within the markets?
Well, it does have an impact. And in fact, people were out talking about that today, because when you build a wall of that size, you have to have supplies and materials to do that. So concrete, cement, aggregates, all those stocks actually saw a little bit of a boost today as people read through that wall building to mean there's going to be increased demand. And I actually did even see a report today that demand for concrete and cement is going to go up by 1-2% should this wall be built. So the market is trying to take in stock everything that's being said in Washington. And remember, we're just starting to see the GOP retreat starts now. We've got to get some balance here, too. Congress has not gotten involved yet, and that's going to require some maneuvering on the part of both sides to get what they want. And I think that's going to actually temper the market a little bit, as we remember that it takes some time to get some of this stuff done.
Yeah, although I think it's going to be faster than people think. I think Republicans, who run the House and the Senate right now, I think they're going to green light a lot of what he's asking for. And I think that they don't see a whole lot of, even if there is some reservation about the details of this, I think that what Trump is doing is he's using the velocity of these things, because there's so many. It's a blizzard this week, right?
Right. Momentum is certainly working for him, and you're seeing that follow through with the market. But Affordable Care Act, the ACA, seems to be the first up. And remember that tax reform is also part of the discussion of being budget neutral. So if they're really tight on budget neutral, and if members of Congress stick to that budget neutral compliance, then you're going to get tax reform. You got a huge infrastructure spend. The tax reform, maybe the tax cuts aren't that big, or maybe the infrastructure spend has to come down some. So we haven't seen that balance out yet. I do think we'll see discussion around that. And right now the momentum's working for you, but again, we still have to work the details out, folks.
Well, so but can I throw something at you here? And I know this is a little off the specific thing that we're talking about, but there was for many years, you talk about this budget neutral, mm-hmm. this deficit neutral or debt neutral concept, where a lot of incoming Republicans, specifically incoming Republicans in the Tea Party movement and even before that, 2006, 2008, were asked to sign a document. Grover Norquist is a guy. It's a name that a lot of people don't know. He's not a household name, but he's a guy that is a budget hawk, a guy who's a deficit hawk. And you will not vote for, and he was saying this to congressmen and senators, you must sign this pledge not to vote for anything that increases the debt. Right? That was his argument. And what he did is he enforced that. He had super PACs at his disposal who would replace, if you sign that pledge and then you voted for something that increased the debt, he'd run someone against you in your next congressional race.
Wow.
And that was basically the carrot and stick that Grover Norquist and the debt hawks were using against Republicans to try to hold the line on spending. Going back to the Bush era, not just the Obama era, but the Bush era. So now the question is, are people going to go with Grover Norquist and be threatened by his replacement? Or are they going to be more afraid that Donald Trump is going to play the exact same game and use his money and his PACs and all the rest to go and try to replace people who don't do what they're going to do, or will he use the bully pulpit of Twitter to do it? I mean, how much more afraid can these Republicans be? And I truly believe that Donald Trump doesn't care about the debt. He doesn't care about the deficit. We'll figure it out. It's the same thing about Mexico. We're going to pay for the wall. Don't worry, it might be complicated, but trust me, but eventually they'll pay for the wall. He'll do the same thing. Eventually the debt will be okay.
Well, he says taxpayers are paying for the wall right now, but eventually Mexico will. But
Mexico's
what?
So back to Susan, will Wall Street, back to you. Will Wall Street see through that?
Well, I think Wall Street will see through it if the numbers get to be too big. And remember, Wall Street is based on numbers. Wall Street is calculating everything and trying to figure this out and figure out where the money is going to go and what company it's going to flow to. So as Trump talks about these things, that's great. But again, putting it into motion and enacting it different. And when Wall Street is calculating this, they're looking at it. Huge amounts of debt are not good for the economy, the country, the currency longer term. And so as it becomes unbalanced and the debt grows, if the debt were to grow to that extent, you're going to start to see ripples of concern. And that underlying current in Wall Street is going to change significantly because, again, the economy runs in huge cycles. A big debt burden like that comes back to bite you. It may not be immediate, but you'll feel it in the coming years. And company valuations will start to reflect that.
Okay. The Trump properties, none of them are publicly traded, are they? Because they just announced plans to triple the number of hotels in the United States under the Trump brand, which, again, seems like a problem to me. Seems like a little bit of a conflict.
Well, the Trump brand.
They're allowed to, but it seems like they're profiting off of it.
But the Trump, there's a difference between Trump building hotels, Trump organization now building hotels, and actually just putting their flag on a hotel, which is how the hotel industry works anyway, right? Other investors owned the property, own the land, build the hotel.
Exactly. They might, you know, license, pay Marriott to use the Marriott brand or Hilton. So
right.
the big names in hotels, those aren't necessarily owned by the named company. They're owned
right.
by someone else
right.
who's been hiring one of who we think of as the hotel companies to come in and manage that property.
Right, but will those management companies then overpay to curry favor with the president? I mean, those are the kinds of ethics situations that you just wonder about. I mean, he's now president. He's got a lot of power. And
well,
is
Mar-a-Lago.
He disconnected?
I'll answer that question with this fact that the entrance fee to Mar-a-Lago, the very exclusive
sure.
country club in Palm Beach that Donald Trump. You know, it's the Southern White House, as he calls it. That fee just went from $100,000 to $200,000. That's the down payment to get into the club.
Wowza.
Now, don't you think that there are going to be some folks, some big, and those are big business people anyway, who join those clubs?
That you wonder if it's about access.
I don't wonder if it's about access.
Well,
I mean, know it's about
you
access.
You know it. Right. Why would it double? Why would it be that much? Exactly.
Right.
Same question with the expansion of the hotels for me.
Oops. Hey, sue me. People, it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful place ever. He's worried about, he's come up with this concept that there's 5 million people voting illegally, that there's, you know, that illegal aliens have decided that they are going to, they're going to show up at a poll and risk getting thrown out of the country. At a clip of 5 million. Are doing this only in the big states that didn't vote for him, by the way. If you read what he's done today, he's
California.
Going after California and New York because they didn't vote for him. I guess Illinois will probably get sucked into that too. But he's going after those states, not the little states where they've already done the recount, like Wisconsin, where they've already done a recount and they said that there wasn't any of that going on. But he's going to go after the big states here because he's concerned about that. But if some CEO of a major corporation in America that wants to curry favor with the president so that maybe when they have a border tax that there's a carve out for them that they joined Mar-a-Lago, that's not going to be a problem, which is money that goes directly into Don and Eric's pockets, which in 4 or 8 years gets right back into Donald
right.
Trump's pockets.
Not hard to connect the dots.
Is there that no one's concerned about that? Right?
Well, all right.
Not yet.
Okay.
Wall Street's still looking at the bottom line.
Yeah,
profit.
I know. They're looking at it as far as their nose can see, and everything's fine.
Okay. It's all good.
All right. Susie Sunshine, thank you.
Sorry
to have to drag you into all this.
I expect it now, Ro. It's quite all right.
All right. Yeah, apparently. All right. Thank you.
Bye, Susan.
Thanks.
All right. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. Right now, mm-hmm. we have got, you know what? I want to share with you.
Yes.
Coming up later on the program. You know, there was the State of the State. Third annual. I can't believe we've been here this long.
I can't either.
See, third annual Droppin' G's segment.
I love this game.
We're going to play a game a little bit later on. Did Governor Rauner drop his G's when giving the State of the State? We will read you a sentence, and then you have to tell us whether or not he dropped the G or he didn't.
Awesome.
That's going to be coming up.
Engineering.
Yeah, exactly.
Manufacturing was one of the ones we got last time.
Growing.
Educating.
That's the worst.
Yeah, that one doesn't work at all.
Well, Violetta, are you be doing the traffic?